Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph of Meseches Sukkah. We're holding on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. We are the second line, the first line after the Mishnah, I guess. The last one line is Tanan. So the Gemara is going to bring a Machlokas Tanaim about Ohel. Whether Ohel that's not made by human hands is considered an Ohel or not. Meaning, what if it's a naturally made Ohel? And the reason why we're going to bring that is because that we'll have a raya from our Mishnah with regard to that discussion. The Torah tells us that a person dies, he's metame other people. And when he's metame other people, they're going to require Efer Paraduma in order to become Tahar. How is a mace metame other people? Well, certainly if the dead body touches other people, they're tame. If they carry the dead body, they tame. They're tame. If they move the dead body, they're tame. But there's also something called Tumas Ohel, as we've discussed several times. If the person or the kli is under the body, or the body is under it, it hovers over the body, or they are under the same roof as the mace, then they are metame with Tumas Ohel. But an ohel is only something that's a roof that covers both the dead body and the thing that it's being metame will only count as an ohel if it's one tefach high, one tefach wide. So Tananasim, we have a Mishnah in Meseches Ahilos, that there are different types of ohelim that have a din of ohel with regard to having kezayis min hameis on one side of the ohel and a kli on the other side of the ohel to make the kli become tame. So the Mishnah explains, echad chor shecharuhu mayim, whether it's a hole in that the river has naturally dug that hole, o shratzim, or little rodents dug the hole, o shachaltu malachas, or mineral filled earth has rotted, decayed, and caused that hole. V'chein midbach avanim, or if you have a pile of large stones, that sometimes one stone lands on top of two other stones that are somewhat distant from each other, and that creates a space, it creates a cavity, that's an ohel. V'chein sevar shel koros, or if you have piles of beams similarly situated, where it creates an ohel. Mahil ala tumah, that can create an ohel to transmit tumah from one thing to the next. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol ohel she'eino asui b'dei adam, eino ohel. That any ohel that's not made by human hands, if it's just made by forces of nature, that is not considered an ohel, and you cannot transmit, it cannot transmit tumah. My time in Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn this din, that it has to be an ohel that's made b'dei adam in order for it to be considered an ohel? So Gemara explains, Yalif Ohel Ohel Me Mishkan. He derives the fact that the Torah uses the word Ohel when it comes to Paraduma, and the Torah uses the word Ohel when it comes to the Mishkan. Ksiv Hacha by Paraduma, it says, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamos Ba'ohel. Uksiv Hasan by the Mishkan, it says, Ve'yis Fros Esa Ohel Ala Mishkan. So Mala Alan Bidei Adam, Afkan Bidei Adam, just like the Ohel by Tumah, by the Mishkan, is obviously made by human hands. So here also by Tumah, the only thing that constitutes Noel, that qualifies as Noel, is something made by human hands. Rabbanan, Ohel, Ohel, Riba. The Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold that you can't learn from the Tumah of the Mishkan, because by Parshas Paradum, it says Ohel many times, to be marba, to teach us that even an Ohel that's not made by human hands can be an Ohel. So the Gemara asks a stira now, within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda from a Mishnah in Meseches Parah. The Mishnah is going to explain how super careful they were when they would prepare the Efer Parah Aduma to make sure that it did not become Tameh. And the reason they were so super careful is that on a Doraisa level, a Tvul Yom, someone who was Tameh, went to the mikveh, still carries with him some smaller level of Tumah until Harav Shemesh, until nightfall, is Midoraisa, he's allowed to be involved in the preparation of the Efer Parah. You would think it's counterintuitive. You would think he can't be allowed because he's a little bit Tameh still, he has residual tumah still on him. No, but the midaraisa, he's allowed to make it. He's allowed to make the efer paraduma. So if a tful yom is kosher to make the efer paraduma, we have to be concerned that maybe people are going to say, so you don't have to be so careful with the efer paraduma. They're not going to be so cautious with it, and they'll come to be metamiyat. So the chachamim put in place a whole series of exercises to make sure that one as it stays as far away as imaginable, as possible from a sense of tuma. So the sub Rav Yehuda kol ohel shein osu b'dei adam eino ohel. Does Rav Yehuda really hold that any ohel that's not a man-made ohel doesn't qualify as an ohel? Or a minhu, I'll ask you, stira chatzeru. So he b'nu yos b'Yerushalayim al gabei asela. They used to build little neighborhoods over on the tops of cliffs in Yerushalayim. That these cliffs were there from Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, so no one was buried in the cliff itself because it's hard rocky ground. You can't bury anyone in it. V'tachteyam chalal, and the cliff has an overhang, so there's airspace underneath the cliff. Mipnei kevratom, so even if someone is buried in the ground beneath the airspace beneath the cliff, the cliff would be mafsik that tuma. The tuma wouldn't go to the neighborhood that's on top of that cliff that juts out, and that way anyone who's there on that cliff knows that they're not becoming tamei, because there is this ohel that's created by the cliff that would stop the tuma from rising above it. So what do they do to make sure that the Efer Paraduma never becomes tamei? So get a load of this. Mavia Nashim Ubros V'Yoldosham. They would bring pregnant women while they're still pregnant to give birth on that cliff. Umegadlos b'neim sham, and they would raise their children there on that cliff, lepara, for the sake of para aduma. So the umavi, meaning that way, we know these kids never became tummy because they grew up in a totally tuma free environment. And then when they had to go draw the water to use to mix with the ashes of the para aduma, umavin shvarin valgabei and delasos, they would bring these oxen and they would put doors or large panels on the backs of the oxen, vitinokos yoshun algabein, and the children would ride on the back of these panels. Because, and that way, even if the ox would walk over a dead body, those panels would serve as an ohel. Vikosos shall even be a dayim, and the kids would carry with them stone cups, because stoneware is not mekabel tuma, lishiloach, and they would go higil lishiloach. They would get to the shiloch, to a spring of water, yordul toch hamayim umilum. So then they would lower their stone cups into the water and they'd fill them up, va'aluv yashvulam, and they would get back up on the boards that are on the back of the animal. And that way they were sure that everything was totally tahar. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mimakomo heimashalshal, they wouldn't actually go down off the animal to fill up the cup. They would just lower the cup, Rabbi Yossi says, from where they were sitting, perched atop the board. And they would fill it up that way, because you never know if there are dead bodies under the water. So even when they're by the water, they can't get off of that perch. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the whole idea that they brought doors or panels on the backs of the oxen. The oxen themselves serve as an ohel. That would be good enough. So now that we see that Mishnah, says the Gemara, does this Mishnah tell you anything about an ohel that's nasa bidei shamayim, an ohel that's not made by human hands, and whether it can count as an ohel halachically? Well, let's think about it. V'hashvarim da'ol she'nasa bidei adam hu, the belly of the shor is certainly an ohel that was not made by human hands. V'katani Rabbi Yehuda omer lo ha'yim v'in v'lasos al shvarim, and we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that they didn't need a panel or a door to block the tuma. The ox himself would block the tuma, meaning the belly of the ox itself would serve as a chatzitza from the tuma and would serve as an ohel. So the Gemara answers, "No, kiyas Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Lazar, it's not a stira. Mod Rav Yehuda kimlo egrof." That if the size of the ohel is the size of an egrof of a large person, which is much larger than a tefach, yeah, then even if it's not made bidei adam, it can be an ohel. But when you're dealing with a bare minimum size ohel, a tefach size ohel, then it would have to be bidei adam in order for it to be considered an ohel. And the Gemara brings a raya to Rav Dimi that Rabbi Yehuda would be moda, that if it's larger, that it does not need to be man made. Tanya namiachi. That Rabbi Yehuda agrees that by rocks that have been moved off of mountains from a wind, and they create this large cavity, and if you have large pieces of rock that form an ohel, that is able to form an ohel even though it's not made by human hands. Why? Because it's gigantic, and anything that's gigantic can form an ohel. So main point number one over here, Rabbi Yehuda learns from the Mishkan that only a man-made ohel has a din of ohel the tuma, And the Rabbanans say by Tuma, a riboy in the pasuk includes even naturally made ahalos. Then, main point number two, we have three opinions how the kids would get to the water to use for the Efer Para. Tanakama, they would go, they would sit on the doors, and then until they got to the water when they would climb off. Rabbi Yossi, they would sit on a door, but stay on the door and just lower the bucket. And Rabbi Yehuda said they don't even need a door. They could just lower the bucket. They could just use the animal as their ohel. Then main point number three, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that naturally made ohel, the size of an egg roof, is an ohel. Now, the Gemara asks as follows. Adelas has plenty of agrofin, it's humongous, and Rabbi Yehuda says that they would just use the oxen, meaning even though the delas is very large, Rabbi Yehuda says don't use a delas because it's not called an oel, because it's not normal to make an oel with it, it's not going to be chotitz b'fnei atumah. So Amar Abaye, lo chutzru chalavid lasos. No, Rabbi Yehuda was not saying don't use a delas, he was saying there's no need to use a delas because the animal itself could be the oel. Rav Amar lo yimavin delasos kalikar, that Rabbi Yehuda just held that they didn't bring doors at all, but not because they're not a valid ohel. They certainly are a valid ohel. Shemineh shadaito shaltino gasa alav, because if you create too secure an environment on top of the animal by having a panel, a board, a door on top of the animal, it's going to be the kid is going to feel too secure. Then shemiyotzi rosho echad meivarav v'yitame. Then we have to be concerned. We'd have to be concerned that maybe the kid is going to stick a limb out of the beyond the airspace of the animal, and that way he'll become tame with kever atom. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda insisted not to use the door. So again, two possibilities. What Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said that they didn't use the door: either that it was just unnecessary to use the door because the animal itself can be the ohel, or not that it was unnecessary, but that you can't use the door because creating too secure an environment for the children is going to cause the children to contract tumma by sticking their arms and legs or head overboard, over the edge of the door, and become tame with tumma satahom. Okay, that's from next time we will learn Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis.